And what is it that you really want to be doing? And are you forcing yourself to do something else? Maybe you're forcing yourself to do sketchbooks because you listen to this podcast, and 1 week in, you think, ugh, I just don't want to be doing this. And welcome to episode 238 of Art Juices's Honest, Generous and Humorous Conversations to Feed Your Creative Soul and Get You Thinking with me, Louise Fletcher.
And me, Alice Sheridan.
And today we are going to talk a little bit about sketchbooks, which is a topic we've talked about before, but it's not like it's a topic that is just covered in one podcast because there's all different ways to think about it. And I'm quite involved in books at the moment, various books. So I suggested it as a topic and we'll just see where it goes. Before we get into that though, Alice, what have you been up to? Have you had any chance to do anything art related at all in the last week?
A little bit I have. Coming back, I have been starting to think about what the year holds for me art-wise, because I've got two things coming up that I actually need work for. So, you know, got to get myself organized and think what this year is going to be about. But it's been a much gentler start to the year. And of course, last week I was away. I hosted a retreat for four people.
Oh, how did that go?
And yeah, it was the first time I'd done it on my own. And it was amazing. It was beyond my expectations. Let's just put it that way. And it was really interesting to see, like, there were quite a lot of logistical organization things that went wrong literally on the morning of. Things like the place we were going to, the previous people hadn't left. So I got a frantic phone call or message from the owners kind of saying, can you check in later? And I'm like, not really. We've got food to prep and we've got food delivery coming. And it was interesting to notice that in the past, that would have really flustered me, and it didn't. Then the oven didn't work, and we had somebody in doing all the cooking. My daughter, who's just trained as a chef, was doing it. And the first meal, she kind of said to me, something's wrong, the oven's not cooking. It's turned right up, and it's pumping out all this heat, but the food's not cooking. And again, that kind of thing, you could go into a... like tailspin about it, and none of that mattered. None of that mattered. And it was just, it was lovely because it was something that I have wanted to create for a long time. And it was only 3 nights and 2 days, but it felt like longer. And the connection with people within that space and what we did together and what's happened since in just a week. So it finished a week ago today. Like, we've got a WhatsApp group and the messages pinging in that WhatsApp group are, yeah, beyond my expectations. So that's been my kind of thing I really wanted to hold space for January. And I've almost been not quite letting myself think beyond that for the rest of the year because that was my focus. And now I'm like, okay, that's fab. And my brain is going, book lots of other things so that you can do that again.
Yeah.
And I know, so now I need to pay attention to my own art. So those are the things that I've got going on at the moment. And then the membership, Connected Artist membership, is open for January as well. So we've had people coming into that very gently. I've only sent out one email so far about it. And it's just been lovely to see the people coming in for that. And we're getting our new Mighty Networks space set up. So yeah, there's been lots of things going on. And yeah, I had a great day the other day where I just sat down and played, not in a sketchbook, but in something else, which I'll talk about later. And feeling like, okay, now there is space for studio time again. And what's that going to hold? So it's been a really, really, as Januaries go, it's been a good one.
Well, that's good.
It's not an easy month, January. Don't you think?
No. I knew someone once who used to say February was a tough month, but I don't find February tough because it starts to get lighter, little shoots start to come up.
It's
got
short.
A feeling of, yeah, it's got, it's already, it's January is the depths of you're not quite seeing the benefits of lighter nights yet. And, you know, yeah, I agree. It's sometimes, and in the UK, it is grim weather-wise often. Which brings me what I've been up to this week, because I had Monday scheduled as my art day, possibly on Wednesday, but definitely Monday, because after our conversation a few weeks ago, I am scheduling in art days, or, you know, at least 4 or 5 hours on those days to make work or do something creative. But on Sunday night, I went to visit my mum and came back. And on the way back, I got caught in a flash flood, which I have never been in before, with the dog in the car. And if anybody's seen my dog, he's not small and he's not big. He's short and heavy. The car stalled.
With short legs.
Yeah, very short legs.
With short legs. He's not a water wader.
No, he's not a water wader, and he can't swim. He's never been in deep water. I don't know what would happen if he got in deep water. Car wouldn't start. I looked out and the water was kind of well below the door. So I called a friend, but he wasn't anywhere near. So he said, it'll take me, I'm just on my way back, but it'll take me 40 minutes. Just stay there. Like 5 minutes later, I looked out of the door and the water was already almost up to the door. It was coming up so fast. And it's a part of the road where the river just almost touches the road, and the river had just burst, and that was it. So I had to call 999. I had to be rescued from the car. They wouldn't come anywhere near me, the police. They won't go into water. They're not allowed. They have to stay out. The firemen were still not there and the water was rising. And she said, you'll have to get out now, because if you wait, you'll have to come out the window. And then how are we going to get the dog out of the window? She's shouting all this at me. So in driving rain and wind, I'm dragging a recalcitrant dog out of the back seat and trying to carry him. And he's so heavy. He's going on a diet, I'm telling you. And I'm up to my knees in freezing cold water, infected with God knows what, wading to this Range Rover that was up the road while they're shouting, come on, you can do it. And I was like, it was like a hero movie, honestly. And he was slipping out of my arms just as we got there, and I got him in the car. I thought, I'll never breathe again, this is it, I'll have a heart attack right here. But I didn't. And they got us home and the car's totaled. The insurance company have taken it, but I don't think it'll ever run again. The engine is
your new Mini.
It's a couple of years old, but yeah, okay. It's a big 4x4 as well. But it was, the road was okay, surface water, suddenly like, oh my God, what's happening? Because that was the part where the, so anyway, that took up 2 days of then insurance company nonsense and recovery vehicle nonsense and having to be with the vehicle and then they couldn't come. So 2 days of that, 2 days of personal appointments with family members. And what I did then was say, right, I think I'm never making art during the day again. I think that's gone, like being melodramatic, but I feel like that will never happen again. So what can I do instead? And that is what brought me to today's topic, because I brought a bunch of books and a bunch of materials into the house and said, it's dark, I don't want to go out there and rain and walk over to the studio and get wet and leave my dog in the house. But if I bring everything over here, at least I can work in sketchbooks. And actually, it's really been quite reviving in the evening to do that rather than sit and watch television, you know, just to sit here and make something. And that's what made me think about this week's topic, because just to shoot straight into it, I feel like I've been pushing myself recently to make big paintings. I feel like it's been like pulling teeth. It's just, and I know better than that. I know that you're not supposed to just do something that doesn't feel good, and that isn't the way to creativity, but we all forget what we know. And I was pushing. And then bringing these books, and when I say books, there's a couple of sketchbooks. There are two old used books that I'm using as sketchbooks, like altered books that I'm just painting over what's there. And I like to have a few on the go, because then I can leave things to dry and work on other things. And as soon as I started sticking bits of paper into a book and scribbling and writing, and suddenly I was happy again. Yeah. And I thought, this is it for now. Not forever, but for now, this is it. And this is enough. I don't have to be telling myself that if I don't paint 10 panels at once, I'm not a creative anymore. I can work mm-hmm. in these books until I feel like I want to do something else. And so it's been a real relief and a joy to get back the fun in what I'm doing and just doing anything I want in these books, literally anything. If I feel like just scribbling something ugly on one page, that's what I've done. If I feel like collaging something, I've done that. But I'm really enjoying it, and I'm recycling bits of junk like envelopes and things, just anything that I've got in the house that comes in. I'm seeing how I can use it in these books. So that is what I thought we could talk a little bit about, is maybe I'm calling it retreating into a sketchbook, but it doesn't have to be a sketchbook. It's more like retreating into something else when it's not working for you, I suppose.
Well, it's a different creative practice, isn't it? A bit. I've just written the title. We'll see which one has ended up. I've just written the title on the notes as sketchbooks as a sanity saver. Because like that's what it felt like a little bit for me this week. And I mean you're more consistent with your sketchbooks than I am. You think, she's
winning. You know what, honestly, I think I look more consistent, but honestly, I have months where okay. I don't touch a sketchbook and then okay. I'll go crazy again. So,
so I do too. I have ages where I don't go, and like little patches where I do a little bit. But again, this week when I was thinking, okay, right, what is, and it was coming back a little bit to that thing of, okay, it's a new year. I've had a break. I've got things coming up. Just starting to really touch in with myself with this question of like, where is my art leading? Where do I feel like it wants to go? And I was going back to my sketchbooks and just these little things that I have done throughout last year and looking for clues in them. Like, just because I think what happens in sketchbooks and why they're so valuable is that they have moments in them that when almost like when they're fresh and new and current, we're almost caught up in the moment of what we're doing in them then. However you use your sketchbook, you're using it for a purpose at that time, even if that purpose is to relax, to be creative, to give yourself access to something that's not a big painting. But I think often what happens is the little nuggets in there, you probably don't see as clearly until a few months later. And that's why they're so good to have and to do and look back on. So I was just kind of flicking through and seeing like, what are the things that I can see and hear that are almost like whispers from my subconscious that are just like, hello, this is what you're interested in. Hello, look, this keeps coming up, you know, the way you use colour, or like, you know, there's an overall sense of a little bit more calmness, or look, you keep coming back to using this colour palette at those moments when you're not thinking about it. And I think that's why they're so helpful.
And I think it doesn't have to be books.
No.
So often for me, it's also sheets of cheap paper. Mm. I did this class this last month. I don't know which month we'll be in when this comes out, but I did a class recently in my membership, and it was about writing a creative brief, like the idea of a brief that you get as a designer or something, but doing it for yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's a process I do, but I put it into like a little format, really basic. And the format was basically look at your own work over the last year, go through iPhotos really quickly and look at other art that you've loved recently, and then see if you can find commonalities between the two and write a list of words kind of thing. And my paintings from last year, the ones I picked, I always pick 10, then narrow it down to a few, narrow it down to five. And the five favorites were all cheap scraps of paper, me playing and doing the same as I do in sketchbooks, basically. And it's so interesting that, like you say, they weren't my favorite paintings, but they were the clues. I felt like they were the clues to what might be next. they weren't my favorite finished paintings, and there were things I could see in them that I would change if they were going to be paintings, but they just had that little, ooh, that's exciting, in them. And also, interestingly, I don't know if you get this, but when you look through, you probably don't because you're a bit more confident than me perhaps in your artwork, but I look and I go, oh yeah, that's the one, I love that, but that's not very, like, no one else will think that's good. This little voice in my head saying, yeah, but that's just you. And then I have to remind myself, if it's me, it's someone else. All the same as I always tell other people. And I know to tell other people that because I get this little voice. And you have to say, if it's me, it'll be someone else. I know this lots of times before. There's nothing that unusual about me. So if I like this, some other people will.
And do you think that? Feel that about your sketchbooks? You feel that about things that come in your sketchbook time?
Yeah, sometimes I'll think, oh, I really like this page where I smudged some charcoal, I put a bit of gesso on and I scribbled all over it with an oil pastel. And I just love the way the scribbles are exactly where they are. And I love the, but that's just scribbles. You know, that's not, other people wouldn't see what I see in it. It's not a conscious thought. It's more of a subconscious automatic thing that comes in that I have to reframe for myself.
That's interesting, because I think I do still have that with paintings. Like when I do something on a painting, I think maybe because there is a more clear outcome with paintings. Mm. Sometimes I have that, oh well, I love it, but I love it, but is it enough?
Yeah.
That comes into paintings. But as you're talking about it now, I'm thinking, I don't think I've ever had that with sketchbooks. I think sketchbooks have always been they've always been for me, and I haven't always been confident in sketchbooks at all. You've heard this story, but it was a while ago, and I think that comes from when I was doing foundation and design. My friend at the time had the most beautiful sketchbooks, and she had the right kind of sketchbook handwriting as well.
You know? I don't have.
Yeah. So they always looked beautiful, and mine felt, they felt immature. They felt scrappy. They felt scattered, and like there was no continuity in them. And at the time, there was a lot of that urban sketching and like a lot of sketchbooks that had to be really, like, really beautiful, like really beautiful illustrative drawings in sketchbooks. And mine, they never were. So for a very long time, I had a sense of like my sketchbooks are just like,
yeah.
But they have never, never been. I've never had that voice about what other people think about them. My question with them has always only ever been more about, my big question in sketchbook is this a waste of time when I could be resolving this on the painting? So that's why I think I have quite two almost quite separate processes. So sometimes what I have to do is be a little bit more aware of that bridge between what happens in the sketchbooks and what that's trying to tell me, and then what's happening in the painting, apart from the ones where I'm doing my kind of studio notes, where it's much more directly.
You made me think, in the sketchbook, it's not what other people think, because I don't plan to really share them with anyone.
Yeah.
Is there any value in that? Like, I like it, but is it worth pursuing, or is it anything, or is it just me? Or sometimes I have this feeling, because if I look back at things I did in the past that I no longer think are good, but at the time I loved them, sometimes I have the feeling that if we make something and it's quite honest and authentic, we just love it because we can see that thing of ourselves.
Mm.
So I think it's more that it's kind of, am I just loving this because that is exactly what I wanted to do at that moment, and now I can see it and it's there, or am I loving it because it's actually got merit? And this idea of merit.
Does that matter?
No, and that's what I mean. This idea of merit is ridiculous anyway, because who says what's got merit? Who decides that? But there is this voice in my head, being totally honest, that's always there questioning, does that have merit? As if there were a panel of judges, you know, like ice skating with cards, and they would say the score for what you've done.
Yeah, and I get that in the sense that there are certainly, there are definitely pages or things that I do sometimes in the sketchbook, which feels like it's more valuable for me. It's more resourceful. It's been, if you like a better signpost, or it feels like it's taught me something more immediately in that moment. And there is a kind of satisfaction. And, you know, I can be working on pages in a sketchbook, and the other evening I was doing it on loose sheets, which is another thing, but it's easier sometimes. Maybe we'll talk about loose sheets in a minute. But the thing where you're doing sketchbooks, and I think one of the things is that helps with the self-judging is to just do it a lot. Just do it a lot, because the more you go through that phase of like, okay, well, this is the first one. Well, that's a bit dull. It's not really very exciting. Who's interested in that? Okay, well, there's something here. Well, that's not really what I plan to do, but this seems to be what's happening anyway. And then the third thing you do, you think, well, that's quite interesting. It would never have occurred to me to do that when I sat down to do this at the beginning, but there's something in that. Then it goes off on a tangent. Then by about the seventh or the eighth page, you're like, okay, now we're cooking.
Yes.
And, yeah. And you know, so often if you give up on page two or three of that session, like, you haven't got to the juicy bit yet. You just haven't got to the juicy bit yet.
Yeah.
And I think that's where people who have a really consistent sketchbook habit, you know, I have some envy for that, because I think you get into that space much more quickly because you don't have the warm up each time. I am envious of that, and also not enough to make it something that's really core in my life.
Yeah.
So clearly not that envious, right? This is the thing, isn't it? If you have a desire for something, like if the desire is strong enough, then just fucking do it.
Yeah.
Right. If I'm not doing it, it's not strong enough. It's because there are other things that feel more relevant or more helpful or more important to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I suppose what I'm saying is, I think when we think about sketchbooks, I think the best way to approach them is in an understanding of you, and actually with a lot of forgiveness along the way. Like, they can only ever be useful for you if, like, they are your space to practice. Like, and whether that is consistent or with pauses in between, you've got to have that feeling of forgiveness for not every page being good or helpful or even interesting. Otherwise, you'll never get to the juice.
Yeah. And I love looking at people's sketchbooks when they are those beautiful drawings that you're describing, like stunning. I love that. But also, I love looking at what I call normal sketchbooks, like mine, where some pages are ugly and some pages are unfinished. Some pages just have a really awkward drawing on them and it's not being finished because it didn't work. And then another page has something exciting. Actually, to look at as a sketchbook, not that that's the reason we make them, but when I've seen those books, I'm always more excited by the true working sketchbook that you can see ideas being worked out in, and you can see failures and things being tried. And so that's how my books are. I don't try and go back and make every page wonderful. Although in this, I'm doing a quite interesting exercise in one of the old secondhand books where I am keeping the pages open for change all the time. So I'm telling myself I can go back and change anything. And I have changed a few that I thought were finished. Then I say, oh no, I want to add something to that. I'm enjoying that process. And I don't want to call any of them finished till the book's done, and then I'll just put it away. But normally in my other books, there'll be a really bad drawing of Riley that I've done at night. And then there'll be a really great little collage piece that I love. And then there'll be a bit of paint mixing, or there'll be where I spilled some gesso on a page. It's just all over the place. And I like that. I think where I stumble is just that feeling of which one has merit, which And I think it's a bigger question for me because it came out on these big pieces on paper too that I loved, that I picked out when I did my creative brief. It's like, are those the ones that are those really? Is that really what I want to do? But it's what feels most exciting. So yes, it probably is. And for some reason, I'm not doing it yet. So that's why I'm back in my sketchbooks.
Do you have a consistent sketchbook that you like working with, size-wise or shape-wise?
I did. You know, I would have answered that last year as sea white, square, medium-sized ones. I liked the square format. But now I've gone to, it's like this normal oblong, and it's like maybe...
Is that like A5 size?
It's 8x5, it looks like. About okay. eight inches by. And it's the make is a sea white also, but it's sea white travel journal.
Okay, and it's slightly thinner paper.
Yeah, but the paper always on sea white takes so much stuff. You can do, I don't know what they do to it. Someone told me what they do to it, but I've forgotten. But I took that one with me to New York and actually used it as a travel journal in New York. And I liked the book so much that I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to probably get a few more of those. So that's a different shape now. And I don't think I'll ever be. And I used to use those moleskin thin ones.
I was never keen on those because the paper's too thin.
Yeah, but I used those for drawing for ages. So I'm never going to have that neat shelf of sketchbooks where
all the same.
The same book. What about you? Do you have a favorite?
No, mine vary. I have some bigger ones, some square ones, some spiral bind, some tiny little pocket ones that I like drawing with. Like I've had a very small little, like was even half postcard size, where I've done the pages like you say, where you just start adding to the pages like randomly throughout the book. So you know, you'd add something on page 3 and then page 23 and then page 40 and just like just keep going.
Yeah.
And that was a really fun kind of little project to do. But again, even that, it was fun to do. And that's not an approach that I've repeated.
Yeah. I don't think it does it. And that's the thing. It doesn't have to be, does it? It has to be. It's just when it strikes you, when it feels like the right thing, because something from that could come back or maybe has come back into work that you've made later. Because I often get asked, I don't know about you, I'm going to put this question to you. I often get asked, how do you translate what you've done in a sketchbook into a painting? Yeah. And I know some people do, but I never do. It doesn't work that way for me.
No, it doesn't work that way for me either. I mean, I do have a studio notebook that I use as a kind of, less so now, but I use as a sort of troubleshooting for a painting book. Mm-hmm. But that is very different from what I call my gathering books.
Mm.
Like my gathering books might be, and I quite like to keep them quite separate from each other. So I will have a book that is drawings outside in the landscape, which is mm-hmm. separate from the one which is the little small square book where I do collagey bits in, which is separate from the book where I stick things in randomly. So again, yeah. I don't have a consistent, oh, this was my sketchbook that was January through till April, and then this was April through to September of that year. I mean, you know, I noticed there was a book that I was working in the other day that I started in 2021. I mean, you know, and I'm still in the same book 3 years later.
It's going to be a nightmare when I have to write your book, your, what do you call it, a retrospective book, you know, your whole career history of your sketchbooks.
I try to date at least if not every page. Like occasionally I will do a little date, and I try to do a little summary at the beginning, like when it started and what's covered in that book. And I know sort of when I did things, but of course when you go back through your diary and your sense of time is completely warped and it feels like yesterday and it was actually 3 years ago.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting point you bring up, because I get asked about that a lot, and I am muddled about whether I keep separate books or not. Sometimes I'm doing everything in one book. So I have books from January to April, 4 books beginning of this year that were a month, and I was mainly working in sketchbooks. Funny, same time of the year, maybe it's just a thing mm-hmm. for me. And then they stopped. I didn't really do it after that until now. But that was everything in one book. Whatever I was doing, it went in that one book. But then I found myself at the end of the year naturally drifting towards, well, this is a book of like daily drawing type things. And this is mm-hmm. a, just like you're saying. And I actually feel like neither really fits me. So that's why I go between the two. I'm not that happy keeping everything separate because I never have the right book with me. But then,
yeah.
So now I'm trying this thing of working in four or five at once so that I don't have to wait for things to dry or, and so that's really muddling and confused because, and I also have a lot of sketchbooks that start and don't finish. Like mm-hmm. if I look on my shelves, there's a lot with say half of the pages done or a quarter of the pages done. And then I've stopped whatever that practice was that I was doing has faded out. I think that's why I kind of like the idea of one book for everything, because when one practice fades out, the next one can take over.
Some people are really good with it, though, aren't they? I saw Austin Kleon the other day doing his, he does it every time. So when he gets a new sketchbook, he weighs it. And when it's complete, he weighs it again. Mm-hmm. And he writes in, I don't know, either the beginning or the back of the book, it doesn't matter, like the weight of the starting book and the weight of the complete book once it's had, you know, the paint and the stuff stuck in. And
that's quite
like,
fun.
And they're all the same size, I think. So like they're all ranged up, as you say, all ranged up on his shelf. And it is interesting because that thing does click in of, oh, that's a good way of doing it. Why don't I do it like that way? Like that looks like it would be really satisfying, that bit. And just kind of not the way I do it. But I think you're probably right about certain times of year. I do think you're right about certain times of year.
Yeah.
And that maybe, you know, maybe now it is just gentler. It is more approachable. So if you've got paint and things at the kitchen table.
At the moment, all I've got is collage stuff, crayons, and I've got two bags, like makeup bags full of just stuff. And there's some gesso in there. There's some watercolours and pens and pencils, but there's no actual paint.
Okay, so you don't
actual
have to mix.
Paint is over there because I do this at the kitchen table and you know how I am. Well, you haven't actually seen my studio for a while, but stuff gets everywhere. So I'm frightened to bring paint into it. So what I'm thinking is when I do get my painting day or days, hopefully, that's when I'll go in and add paint to some pages. So I'll build them up in that way. I can still do the collage-y and drawing bits in the house. So this one I'm working on at the moment, this secondhand book, and I love those because the paper is so good in those old books. It's such high quality paper. That one is mostly collage and drawing and just layering things on top of things on top of things until I get something that I like, and which is similar to what I do on my panels when I layer vintage papers and then send them back. I do love vintage papers. I went into this new antique shop that's opened near me in this little town, and he had gone to an estate sale and bought all the paperwork from this guy, some lord up in Northumberland. And he had it in this beautiful open drawer thing, like pigeonholes. And he just had papers just in these pigeonholes. And I had my dog with me, and I said to him, I have to come back and spend a few hours going through these papers and choose the ones I want, because they're all just, you know, buy them separately. The papers, they were just so beautiful, the receipts and the old letters, and just I could
how do you get over
roll around in old paper.
How do you get over saving the best of those? Because that's my thing with things like that. It's like, oh, I only got one of these. Do
I know.
I use it now?
There's a few things. There's a letter I once got from eBay, and it came in a parcel of papers, and it was from a young woman in like 1907 writing to her sister about the fact that she'd had a marriage proposal from someone, but she really liked this other guy. And he didn't seem to be going to propose. And what was she going to do? That one I can't put. What I did with that is I put it in its envelope and I stuck it into one of my journals so I don't lose it. Just as a... It's complete, and I can take the letter out of the envelope and read it. So there's the odd thing like that. But I'm much better now at using things up, because that sketchbook is just as important to me as if it were a really big painting. And if it was a big painting, I'd cover it up anyway with paint. I could never keep it, you know, protected. And the bits that show through on a big painting tend to be surprise bits that I wasn't expecting to show through and that look good by accident, not things that I've deliberately
planned around.
Yeah, I can't do that. Maybe some people can do saving the best bits for top layers, but I never know when the top layer is going to be. So I can't. So it's like, so now there are some real treasures in this book that I'm doing. But it gives me pleasure to look at them in the book, and at least I've not lost them, you know.
And there is something very precious, isn't there, about that book. I got out charcoal the other day. I don't know. I just got an urge.
A charcoal urge. We've all had it.
Charcoal urge and the dry, beautifully coloured, you know, the Unison pastels.
Yeah.
Those, and I was just working on, and I got through. I wasn't working in a book, I was working on loose sheets, just like A4 pack of cartridge paper, and I got through a whole pack.
Wow.
But then I'm left with like all these loose sheets, and I'm thinking, that's fine. Sometimes I quite like loose sheets, because then you can just tape them all up on your wall and see everything. Mm-hmm. And I find that quite mm-hmm. helpful. And it's also quite good. It's quite good as a way to get over that my sketchbook has to be precious fear. You do it on loose sheets, and then you can either, you know, you can bind them if you want to, you can stitch them if you want to, you can stick them in something if you want to, you can just make a folder, whatever. Cut them up, stick them onto something else. I think working on loose sheets is a really good way in or back in if you get that kind of sketchbook paralysis.
Yes, I feeling. Agree. And it gives you, it's a nice way of like, you can use all the same palette if you want to, or all the same materials on like multiple. It's like working in a series on Hyperblast, because you can do so many. And like you say, you might get the first five might be rubbish, and then they get better and better. Yeah. I always struggle trying to bind them. I've got no patience for book binding. I did try sewing some up once, but they looked awful.
Yeah, I suspect these will get, some of them probably will get thrown away fairly immediately, and some of them will get taped up to the studio wall, and then they'll live there perhaps while I'm doing paintings, and then, you know, they might go. I quite like that lack of preciousness about them. And that's not a sketchbook then. That is something different. But it's this process of how you go from nothing to something.
Mm.
And I've also seen people get stuck in the sketchbook stage.
Mm.
Like, where I think it's an interesting question to ask yourself. Like, if you, like, one of the things that we often talk about is how much time as an artist do you spend working on your art versus doing the things that you might need to market it, or like, you know, editing images for your website and doing that sort of stuff. Like, what's the proportion like? I think there's another question, which is, in your creative world, how much time do you spend on something that is towards a finished result, like painting, and mm-hmm. how much is the gathering, exploring, creative? And personally, I think there's different phases, there's different stages where each of those takes a priority. And I think sometimes people get stuck in the exploring sketchbook stage, because like, as soon as you start doing a painting, it's like a proper painting with capital P's, and like, you've got to do it properly.
Yeah.
But I think it's always a good question. Like, actually, where have I been spending more of my time? Have I been doing too much in the production zone, and I need to go back to this? Like, what do I need?
I think that's what happened to me. I think pushing in the production zone, pushing to that when I wasn't ready for it, when I'm ready for sketchbooks, There are also some people, and I can think of a few, whose art is sketchbooks, and that is what they do, and they're really happy with that, and they don't want to produce paintings, and that's not what they do. And I think that's really valid. But I think what you're saying is, when you do want to produce paintings, but you're not doing because you're staying safe in the experimentation. But there is a danger of not experimenting, which is where I was at, where you're just simply trying to push through to make something before you've done the experimenting. It's a constant balance, isn't it? Just finding.
Yeah, there's somebody, I think she does, I'm not sure if she's does it as a course that you can take all the time, but Cheryl Taves, and she's on Instagram as Cheryl Taves, and is it Insight Creative? She has a 30
days. Yes, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, she has a 30-day sketchbook challenge, which is a really great, I think you can take it any time. I think she might have a patch this time of year where she does it live, but I think you can do it any time you want to, with some really nice prompts. She writes a lot, Cheryl, so it's quite an introspective approach, and it's great if you like that sort of quite considered and a lot of reading. It's not a okay, let's get physical, here's all the techniques. It's quite a, like, let's draw these things out of you. Mm-hmm. But that's, I really like the way she does. And I have Cheryl Taves sketchbook envy for sure, because she's a consistent sketchbook person.
Yeah.
And also sometimes I look at them and I think, but I want that to be on a painting, not in the sketchbook.
I think it's the preciousness of books that I love, because I love books anyway.
Yes.
So it's the like opening it up, and it's this little treasure which is private to you, but whenever you want, you get to open it and look. I think that's one of the things that I really like about sketchbooks, and why I wish I was consistent all the time with them, because I would love to be the kind of person, here's where I get envy, people who say, I've been doing this since I was 18 or 12, and these are all my sketchbooks that I've got since then, and they've just built up, and their sketchbooks may have changed over the years, but they've just kept keeping books. That would be amazing. A lot for someone to clear out when they do Swedish death cleaning, but until then, you would have... I love that name. It's such a good idea as well, but that's for another podcast. But I love that idea, but that's not me. I've got very sporadic, you know, early day things. And then more recently, I've maybe got 4 books a year, and they've come at different times and then gone and then come.
All right, then. So key tips then. I think what's interesting is what's brought both of us back to this subject now is a sense of, this feels like the right thing to be doing for this time. And anything that you can do that takes that sense of judgment out of it and ease into it. So practical space. I have to say, my charcoal and pastel, it's messy, damn it. Like, I wouldn't recommend that for a kitchen table sketchbook thing. It's a grubby old mess. But what I think, and I did this when I had younger children and I was feeling really unconnected, was having a tray or a box with sketchbook kit materials that you could keep, and keep it visible, damn it. Like, don't tidy it away, you know, put it on your coffee table or in front of the telly or something, and do it there, but don't have to go and find all the materials to do it. That's the easiest way to get started again.
But
I do think you need a nugget of something to get you into it, because I've also fallen into the trap sometimes of feeling, okay, I need to do something in my sketchbook, and then just doing a couple of random drawings that are just like, these really are pointless, because I have no idea at all what I am investigating here. I mean, classic one, at one point I drew a bloody soap dish, and then I was like, well, this is a really boring drawing. And it's like, well, of course it is, because you're interested in a soap dish. Yeah, you know, I mean, what possessed me, you know, other than this sense of, you should be drawing daily. Draw what's around you.
Yeah. I mean, that's okay if you're practicing learning to draw, then you know what you're investigating. Yeah, I'm trying to get better at drawing.
Still
pick something more interesting.
Okay, so sketchbook tips number one, pick something more interesting than the soap dish. From people who say, I make soap dishes.
And they're really interesting. Soap dishes can be. And soap dish makers are very offended by what you said. I can just
see
the
be very
email.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I think a big tip for me is what we've been saying about just listening, whether it's the right time. And what is it that you really want to be doing? And are you forcing yourself to do something else? Maybe you're forcing yourself to do sketchbooks because you listen to this podcast, and one week in you think, ugh, I just don't want to be doing this. It's got to feel good. It's got to feel exciting.
And I think that's a point as well, is that, yes, there is a lovely thing that you are creating, but if your sketchbook just ends up being nothing more than a springboard into other paintings, great. Done its job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you start off by working in a sketchbook and then you start to get the twitchy fingers and the urge to go and paint, you know, it's all right then to drop the sketchbook habit.
Yeah.
Like, there's no has to in any of this.
Yeah, because we can make rules. I could feel myself making a rule when I said I'm going back to sketchbooks. I could feel myself saying, right, for 3 months, that's all I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm
going to
do an hour a day.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do it for 3 months or 3 hours or 3 weeks. Let's just see what I feel like.
But the danger in that is that you stop before you get to the 7th, 8th thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like you say, if I get the urge to rush off and paint, if it's a true urge, it will be because I'm inspired, because rather than the urge to, you know what, I should. Right, I'm not being productive. I need to go over there and make some paintings. There's, I think, different urges, isn't there?
Yeah.
And it's distinguishing. It's always what feels exciting. It's always that.
Yeah. Yeah. And in that sense, it's not as simple as making rules or not making rules, so much as knowing what you need and adjusting to that, attuning to that.
Mm.
In a way that's really honest.
If I could just maybe wrap this up, but I was going to do this what's inspired, but actually it's just so relevant to what we're talking about now. I had two visitors staying at my house in quick succession. That's another reason why I didn't get any art done. And we had great conversations, but this both times, one was an old colleague I haven't seen for years with some great in-depth conversations about creativity, and the other one was Tracy Tompkins, who I work with on Art Tribe. Tracy's very wise, and we were talking about, I was talking to her about, it just feels like every time I get 5 minutes to make art, something else happens and somebody else needs me, and I'm just desperate to find some time somewhere, but I don't want to let anyone down because these are people I care about and I want to help. And she said something, I'm paraphrasing now, if she's listening I'll get it wrong, but basically she was saying, is it possible that this is just the time when actually, like, the universe or whatever you want to call it is saying this is more important at the moment, these other things, like, is it possible that forcing yourself to do art isn't actually the right thing at the moment, that actually these other things might be what you should be doing or what you need to be doing? And suddenly I just felt this massive weight fall off me, like, yeah, we can't have everything. And I actually, this is not a case of people taking advantage. This is people I want to support and things I want to do. And therefore, if I make the choice that for now, they're going to be my priority, I can kind of breathe and then just do my sketchbooks in the cracks and still feel connected. I think that's all I need, is to feel connected to being creative. If I don't have that in any way, I start to suffer for it. But at the moment, sketchbooks is a really good compromise. And that feeling I think a lot of us have, because the older you get, we were just saying before we started, the harder life seems to get sometimes, or the more challenges life seems to throw up, or the more time sucks it gives us. And just allowing yourself to say, oh, okay, maybe that is. I'm thinking, oh, you're keeping me away from my destiny, but maybe that is my destiny at the moment. and that's okay.
Mm. I mean, and this goes back to the question as well, doesn't it? Of the question of how do you translate your sketchbooks into paintings? And like I said, my answer is that I don't. They are separate things. And I think that relationship with the sketchbook can very much be a two-way thing. I mean, when I was sitting with my mum in hospital this morning, and there was a guy in the waiting room, and she nudged me because she used to do work like that. She's like, look, that guy's drawing the guy over there in his sketchbook. And I thought, and he was, you know, you could see that looking and the looking and the looking. And I thought, A, what a brilliant thing to be doing for your brain hand-eye coordination. And what a gift to always have that. Like, yes, we can always take a book with us and read a book. But to be able to do that kind of drawing in those moments, and I haven't done that kind of drawing in those kind of sketchbooks for a very long time. And a little bit of me just went, yeah, a bit of that would be a nice thing to do. But also, yeah, even the challenge of being bored by your own environment, and the challenge of like, okay, if you're not drawing the soap dish, but find something like, what is of interest to you here? Like that's the key question in your making art. What is of interest to you here? And if there's nothing of interest, well, find it. You know, what is of interest? Is it the way the light's making a shadow from that leaf? Okay, great, good, you know.
Yeah. I did a little bit of that in New York while John wrote, because we would sit together and he would do a bit of writing in a cafe and I would get my book out, and I drew him quite a bit. And I find it's always people, even though I don't do figurative work, if I'm in a cafe, and I know you've said about being told by your mum, go draw people in a cafe. But I quite like the challenge of just drawing. There was a young guy with a backpack, I remember, and like just the way his shoulders went in the backpack. See how few lines I can capture that. And by the way, the drawings are not very good. So when you talk about urban sketches with beautiful sketchbooks, my travel journal will never look like that, because I don't have the patience. I just don't want to do that. I just have fun with a few lines.
Did you notice a change though over the time period just that you were away?
Yeah, I got better at capturing things. And I tell you what I got better at.
In how long?
Choosing. How long? In 10 days.
Right.
Yeah. And not every day. I missed a few days, but I got better at choosing which bits of it. Yes. I became fascinated with road signs, because there's a gazillion road signs on every pole, and just the way all the road signs and traffic lights. And I ended up doing a bunch of drawings about that, which was fun. And why am I looking at that and not this? I don't know.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I think sketchbooks helps you with, that process of the filtering and the, what is it that I'm interested in here? Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Mine were about colour.
What were about colour?
My pages.
Oh. We can't see them there. You can't share them with everyone.
I know, they're over there. Okay, then. So what's inspired then?
I have a quick intellectual one and a quick cheesy one. Quick intellectual one. I bought a book in Manhattan that I've never seen here, although maybe it's available. Keith Haring's Journals. Do you know the New York kind of graffiti-ish guy with his little people? If you don't know who he is, look him up. Haring, Haring. He's got these journals and they're really a good read. Someone has obviously collated them and published them, and he never meant them for public view, I'm sure. But there's so much in there about the why. Going back to what you were saying, what question am I asking? He's constantly asking, why am I making this work? What is it about? And how can I know when the answer doesn't come till after? But if I could, he says something like, if I could work out what I'm trying to do now, I could explore those ideas in a really organized fashion. But I only ever find out what I'm doing after I've done it. And that's too late. And even though his art is nothing to do with mine, or, you know, we're not in the same family of art at all, I really enjoy reading any artist's kind of thoughts about their process. So I'm enjoying that book. And the other much more cheesy one is, I cannot wait to finish The Traitors in the next 2 days on BBC. I love that show so much, and I don't get excited about TV
very
often. I don't
even
often.
Understand it, and I've looked at it, and I'm like, I'm not getting sucked into that.
It is the best reality TV show I've ever seen. It's so good. So if you're okay. If you're watching The Traitors, you know what I mean. And go Harry for the win. But by the time this comes out, we'll know if that happened. Oh, it's such a good show. They did an American version, but it was very over the top, I felt like.
Okay.
It's like what British people think Americans would like rather than what Americans would actually like. It was a bit too much, but oh gosh, yeah, it's so good. Anyway, what about okay. you?
Good. All right. Well, my lowbrow thing then, just apropos of your story at the beginning, have you seen After the Flood on ITV?
No, sorry. But my mum said it was good.
Yeah, sorry everybody. This is ITV, but it's I think it's from the same writer that wrote Happy Valley. I don't think it's as good because I don't think it has quite that edge that she has as a character. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it starts with floods. I think it's set in the Lake District.
I might not be able to watch about floods. I'm still traumatized.
Yeah, okay. So just watch the first scene and then decide if you're going to watch the rest. The other thing that I would say is what's inspired. Really what's inspired is just this sense of within a month where everybody is, how are you doing on your New Year's resolutions, by the way, and all of that stuff. It's this funny mix of taking time out and also what happens when you just take a step towards committing to something, like knowing that your energy is behind it and whatever work you need to do to get into that space, just do it. Because I have been reminded again, like how essential that is and how magic it is and how when we get out of our own stuffing way, and this is one of the reasons I didn't want to talk about emails, like I am so fed up with things like, and only because it I get in my own way and I get fed up with it too. Like all this kind of worry and angst about the how and the this and the connecting things. And I've had two things in the last 2 weeks, both of which have been on my list for a long time because I didn't know how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I just got in the, okay, well, if I could just make this easy and I'll just start doing this, and both things got either solved or sorted or done when the momentum was there enough just to get on with it and make a start.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get on with it and make a start. But when you stay in that, I'm all in a pickle in my head situation.
Yes.
It doesn't work. It never, 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 never works. So if all your January is about is like being settled and looking after yourself and feeling good, the rest will come. Honestly, I've just been reminded of that all month long. It's been insane.
Yeah. Well, that's it for us this week. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on social medias, wherever you want to look for us, just by looking for Alice Sheridan or Louise Fletcher, and you will find us. We'll see you again soon. Bye.
Bye.